Corn and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org. You're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, Laura Sumner Kuhn, a former journalist with the Racine Journal-Times, who currently serves as an adjunct instructor at UW Parkside, and Jane Herring, a former marketing manager at Gateway Technical College. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Good morning. This is Len Iaquinta for Community Matters. My guests this morning are from the University of Wisconsin, Parkside. Professor Peggy James is the Dean of the College of Social Sciences and Professional Studies. With her is Allison Enguinano Salas. She is one of the college's two Andrew Goodman ambassadors for this academic year. And we've recently learned that she will be a Newman Civic Fellow in the year ahead. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Len.
Good morning, Len.
Now, I'm going to begin by asking Andrew Goodman Ambassador Allison the impact question right off the bat. Before we get into the whole history of what a Goodman Fellow is and why this is connected to the University of Wisconsin Parkside, Allison, I want to know, how has being a Goodman Fellow changed you?
Being a fellow has really been a positive change. It's allowed me to continue with the work that I've been doing for years, but at a larger spectrum and with more resources and more motivation for sure. I've always been very passionate about civic engagement and trying to get students to be involved, since I myself was not able to be involved civically for many years because of my legal status. So I always knew that people like myself were being highly affected, either positively or negatively. So I knew that encouraging the people that had the right to advocate and the right to vote was really important. So being an ambassador just allows me to continue doing that, again, at a larger spectrum with students on campus.
So it's been a kind of a self-actualization, a realization for you, hasn't it?
Yes, it definitely has been.
I wonder if you could tell us a little bit more how in this role you think you've changed others. That's kind of doubly inspirational to me, Allison.
For sure. The one thing that comes to mind when I think about this is this one specific individual that I encountered in the fall when we were tabling for the presidential election and trying to get students registered and informed. I clearly remember being outside on campus and passing out flyers, and this one girl comes up to me, and she looked very confused, very lost, and she wanted to register, wanted information. And as I explained it to her, she still looked very confused. So I realized that maybe she spoke another language. So I asked her if she spoke Spanish, and she said yes. So then I immediately switched to speaking Spanish, and her face of just relief was the best feeling. She looked so comfortable. She started asking me a bunch of questions. She was excited about actually getting to vote. And just knowing that I could maybe help someone feel more comfortable and more engaged in their community makes me feel so much better about what I do, and it keeps me motivated, truthfully.
Maybe you might want to circle back now for a second and tell us a little bit about your life story, which you briefly alluded to, why this is so important to you. As you said, you had, you're a newcomer to the country.
Yes, go into that. I immigrated to the U.S. when I was 6. I didn't know any English. I didn't have any friends or family here, just my mother and I. And I was a legal resident for many years. And if many of you don't know, legal residents are, they have privileges, but one of the things that we're not able to do is to vote. So I was never able to vote until I became a citizen in November. So when elections came by, I noticed that a lot of the students, a lot of my friends that were able to vote just kind of put it off and they didn't care. And it truthfully made me really mad because I wish I had the opportunity to do that, but I didn't for many years. So that's kind of where I started to, around my close group of friends and family, encourage people and motivate them to be involved, especially when it came to elections, presidential elections, local elections. And then I found this ambassador position with the Andrew Goodman Foundation, and I thought it was a perfect fit.
Now, did that really influence people more because you had that experience that you could share with them? I wonder if that helped you motivate others by sharing that experience and that passion.
I think so, yeah. No, for sure. Because every time I would give someone my little speech on why you should vote, they would tell me right away, well, you should vote. And then I would tell them, well, I can't vote. And it would make them feel a little guilty. But I think that was necessary because it really encouraged people to motivate themselves to be involved, since people like me aren't able to, and yet I'm advocating.
That's terrific. Well, I suppose we ought to bring Professor and Dean Peggy James into the conversation now. Dean James, I didn't want to ignore you, but I wanted to zero in on Allison, because her experience is so fascinating and exciting to hear about. Dean James, can you tell us a little bit about this Andrew Goodman Ambassador Program? How does it augment your curriculum in the College of Social Sciences and Professional Studies? How does this fit in? How did you get Allison connected with this program anyway? It doesn't magically happen, so you must have intervened somehow, or maybe she did this all on her own. Tell us how this all works. This is amazing, and how other people might get involved in the future too. We can get to that later.
Well, this is all part of a cumulative process, Len. As you know, Parkside's always had one of its main missions is community engagement. So we've always been interested in working with the community and helping our citizens, our students, to become active citizens. One of the things that we just recently did in 2015 was to develop a civic action plan, which was our commitment to help our students become informed and aware and active, not only in voting, but also in the community. And as you know, we've been working with elections and campaigns and registration since 2012. But the Andrew Goodman Foundation came to us last year, had seen some of our work, and wanted to know if we'd like to partner with them to actually work on the presidential election. And this just seemed like a perfect fit for us because as you can see from Allison's example, is that oftentimes folks in my position or faculty will think of engagement as panels and lectures and issues, and those are all important. But I think we find what is probably most important to our students and community are some of the little things, like speaking Spanish to the person who needs to have something explained in Spanish. Or, as we found out, what students were sometimes perplexed at was not necessarily how to register, but some of them actually had issues figuring out where to get stamps to send in their absentee ballot, because of course no one uses the mail anymore. And so these are things that I never thought of, that we've always said, well, let's have all these brown bags and these speakers, but we never thought about the fact that really people needed a personal connection, that we needed to actually reach out. And of course, who's best to reach out to students are other students. Because I think Allison and the other fellow, who is Jasmine Cottrell, were able to talk to students and realize the difficulties or the problems they were having in engaging with the election, things that I could not do.
I wonder if you could both share with us a little bit more about some of those things, like, you know, just I think getting a stamp today. I don't know where on campus you would go to get a stamp. I honestly don't know. I used to work there, and I haven't a clue. Do they even sell stamps at the bookstore?
As it turns out, no. and so this was a problem for us, but we were able to cooperate with the bookstore and the concierge desk so that they were able to get stamps and could sell them to students independently. But this is something that we never even thought of. Something that small can really be a roadblock to people, because if they can't figure out a stamp and they live on campus, what will they do?
That's terrific. Are there any other things like that you'd want to bring to the fore, Allison?
I think what at least I experienced a lot of the times is students were not necessarily fearful of voting. They just didn't know how to figure out who was on the ballot, especially for smaller elections like the spring election that we just had in Wisconsin. It they didn't just, I guess, didn't understand the process of how that works, how every different area in Wisconsin has different people running. And once we explained that to students, what I found is that they, A, felt more comfortable moving forward with the voting. And because of that, they actually did register and went through the entire process. It's something that maybe people don't think is an issue, but from my experience as an ambassador, I saw it multiple times.
Very interesting. And I wonder if there have been issues with students feeling they don't know how to get informed about once they figure out what these different offices are for, because it bewilders a lot of older people than just in the teens and early 20s. Once they figure out what's on the ballot, then how do you get informed? So did you address that issue too?
We
Dean James,
did.
Allison?
Oh, yes.
Go ahead.
We did. That was another issue as well. Students just being shy or not knowing who. So what we did, Jasmine and I, the other ambassador, we focused on partnering with a lot of the student orgs, especially the multicultural organizations on campus, just because we knew that, A, all those orgs had a lot of students attend, especially the Black Student Union, Latinos Unidos. Those organizations have always a lot of followers. So we teamed up with them multiple times throughout the election year, and I believe it was really successful. We demonstrated kind of how voting works, what to expect, and where to get more resources. And from the feedback that we got, it was pretty successful.
Dean James?
Well, we also had some backup in terms of the internet and our website. The Andrew Goodman Foundation did help us with a My Vote Everywhere connection. And so we were able, for the first time actually, to put to walk outside with tablets and help people register online immediately through a ready-made app, which came from the Andrew Goodman Foundation. And what was really helpful for our students was that not all of our students are from here. And so the confusion, of course, lies in, well, can I vote here? Or if I do an absentee ballot, will my state take it? And so the app actually had information for every state in the country so that a student knew how it is that they could vote, if they could vote absentee, or if they could actually vote here. And if so, and here's another roadblock, where they needed to go if they were actually going to do it in person. That's another thing that people really don't know much about, especially if they're not from the area.
There are many aspects then to this where you found large and small interventions would help smooth the process along so that a person could vote. Is that pretty much the nub of it?
That's absolutely true, Len. I mean, I think what we found out was it's personal context. It's actually helping provide information, both in terms of speakers and lectures, but also in terms of having information available on a website or be able to tweet it out. We had a Twitter account, didn't we, Allison? Of course, this is where I lose my expertise. But the students would reach out via our hashtag ParkTheVote Twitter account, and that's something that for me, I think I'm being very technologically advanced if I use Facebook. So it really helps to have students who actually know what other students are listening to and going to for resources.
Dean James, you mentioned that the Andrew Goodman Foundation sought UW Parkside out as a partner. And that's very impressive to me that they were aware of your program and found out about it and asked you for that partnership. Do you want to talk a little bit about that in more detail? That's very interesting. To be invited is an honor.
Well, truly, of course, I think the Andrew Goodman Foundation, all credit to them, is seeking to actually establish a nationwide presence. And so that, because that also helps each campus. We have lots of resources to use and to see what works on other campuses. And so it's a great idea that they have. They reached out in late spring of last year and asked if we would be interested. And of course, we've had the election experience on campus for the last three presidential elections, and we've been working on the midterms. And actually, we're pretty proud of our voting rate. is that we're routinely, we have been over the national average in terms of other college campuses. And as a matter of fact, in 2018, we moved 18 percentage points from the last midterm election in terms of students voting, which is huge, and put us about 12 percentage points over the national average. So this is, you know, we're kind of been doing pretty well on our own, but I'm beginning to see that these partnerships will really help us just go to the next level.
Well, that's extraordinary, an 18% increase.
Yes.
It increased 18% to what level?
We actually had a 51% voting rate in 2018, and I am anticipating we will get the 2020 sometime next year. But we have been consistently going up for the last 8 years, and 51% is really good for midterm elections.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah. Okay, citizens listening to this broadcast in our three counties and elsewhere on the internet, pull up your socks and see if you can do as well as the students did, because you're not, and you need to do better. That's incredible. My guests today on Community Matters are Dean Peggy James of the College of Social Sciences and Professional Studies, and Allison Anguiano Salas. And she is a student and has been a Goodman Ambassador and Fellow this year. And she's going to be a Nieman Civic Fellow in the year ahead. And we're going to get to that in just a little bit. I have a feeling we've missed some of the details, as many as you've already described, of some of the activities that Allison, you and your colleague undertook. Are there any other things you could describe for us of activities you did or experiences the two of you had together with students on the campus?
Yes, for sure. In terms of activities during the fall, since the presidential election was occurring, we were heavily tabling on campus, trying to get students registered, and that was very successful. Again, we were quite limited because of the pandemic and the restrictions that the university has. But now, this spring, during the spring semester, we focused on the spring election, again, trying to get students registered and more involved. In addition to that, we also wanted to virtual events and have more guest speakers join us. So we had this presentation called Finding the Fiction in Facts, which consisted of two different parts. The first part of that was having a professor from the university join us and kind of give students and community members tools on how to spot fake news and what to do with that. And then last week, actually, we just had another event, the second section to this. And instead of having more of a presentation style, Jasmine and I decided that we wanted to have more of a discussion-based event. And we invited, again, students and community members to join us to talk about the media, fake news, what their opinion on that was. And it was actually quite successful. We had both students and community members join us from all ages. So we had a lot of perspectives. And I think it was very successful. We really want to continue something like this next year. Although Jasmine is graduating, we will have a new ambassador join us. And since we saw that these discussion-based events were so successful, we hope to do that next year as well.
I just love the title of that, Finding the Fiction in Facts. That's a great one. Dean James, what was your take on the success of that session? And what did you learn from observing it and seeing how that unfolded?
Oh, I am so glad you asked that question, Len, because both sessions were great. Jackie Arce from Communication, this is her area, is media, and so unsurprisingly she was very, very good. But I have to tell you, that second session was absolutely amazing to me, because that second session did not rely on a professor or a guest speaker. It was simply our two ambassadors who sort of followed up and led what was a extremely robust discussion about discerning fiction and facts and where people could go if they felt that they were, you know, getting too much of a slant. But what impressed me so much was that, you know, I think I might have made a couple comments as an attendee, but the people in charge were our two ambassadors, and to see these students handle the discussion in a professional and informative way, essentially made a faculty person not needed. And I think that's exactly what we all want to see, is to see that we're just not needed anymore because the students can do this themselves. So it was very inspiring to me, actually. And I think it was probably very inspiring to any other student who attended, because they can see what can be done on their own.
Now, is there any kind of credit granted for this, or do we just do this on our own and take it out of our hides, so to speak? Does it have a mesh with the curriculum, or is this a extra or co-curricular activity? Where does this fall in, Dean James?
Well, it certainly it falls perfectly within the college's mission of civic engagement, because we're always, that's part of our mission, is to get students to be engaged citizens. And also, who's also involved with this is the Center for Business and Community Engagement. And so it fits into their mission as well. The students are compensated, although I have to say embarrassingly that it's not very much. And they certainly work harder than they're getting compensated for. I'm not sure that when I was a student, I would have done all this work for that amount of compensation. But I'm hoping that they're learning some skills and some empowerment is coming to them, because I've seen this year we have made so much movement in terms of student engagement, and I know it's not because of me. I know it's because of the students who have been involved.
I wonder, will we be seeing Alison Anguiano Salas on the ballot sometime in the future? has this changed your thoughts about maybe running yourself, running for election and not running for the border?
I think maybe in the future, but I still think I have a lot to learn about politics and just the community itself. And I think I would personally like to first work in the community and then maybe see if running would be in the cards, but I'm not saying no, so we'll see.
Okay, we'll take that as a definite maybe.
I would vote for.
I think I would too. When I see some of the slates every once in a while, I want to run for the border to another state or another country because I'm not happy with the selection. So that's a wonderful thing. Now, can we go back a step and just, you know, what in creation is the Andrew Goodman Foundation, and who is Andrew Goodman? One of you want to take that up and fill us in, because I think our listeners will be interested, and I find it inspirational.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, the Andrew Goodman Foundation is actually in honor of Andrew, or Andy, he went by Andy Goodman. He was a civil rights activist in the 1960s, and he joined the Freedom Summer, which was an organization that aimed to register Black Americans to vote in Mississippi. And at the time, obviously, that was very controversial. And unfortunately, when he joined the Freedom Summer on his first day, he and three other civil rights workers, James Chaney and Michael Schrudner, they were murdered by the KKK. And because of that, the story of these three men that were brutally murdered really allowed for the public to take action and be more motivated to protect voting rights, and that's how the Voting Rights Act of 1965 came to be. And the Andrew Goodman Foundation, the aim is for civic engagement and for students to be civically involved in memory of Andy.
Well, I was an undergraduate. I was a sophomore at that time, and I remember those days very, very well. It kind of made my blood run cold there for a moment when I found out the history and because I had forgotten who Andy Goodman was. That was a long time ago, and it's really pretty exciting to see, and it certainly is as topical today as it ever was. Dean James, this is a foundation that has more than one avenue of its work. I wonder if you could go down the list for us and just give us a little bit more well-rounded idea of what this organization does. I think some of our listeners might want to go online and find out about it. And before I forget, I want to point out that Students like Allison, I don't know about her specific case, but students like Allison who are involved with civic engagement can benefit at UW-Parkside with scholarship support, with financial aid that allows them to not work three part-time jobs to pay for their tuition, room, and board, and gives them the opportunity to do extra and co-curricular work as well as curricular work that is meaningful to them, to the community, to the university, and to all of us. So I want to take this moment to recognize that, and you might want to speak about that too, Peggy, about how scholarships that people give to the university, I'm one of them, I happen to support a scholarship for civic engagement. We want to talk about that a little bit and also talk us through what this Andrew Goodman Foundation also does, please.
Well, as you said, the Andrew Goodman Foundation is multi-pronged, and so it has certainly, I would characterize its work with campuses as the heart of what it does. And so we are part of a number of campuses across the nation. It comes out of it's also part of a effort to provide scholarships for students who are very, very active in this area. And it provides a national training event every year for any of the ambassadors who can attend. Now, last year, and I think even this year, it might be virtual, but it doesn't just say hire someone and give them a little bit of money and tell them to make a difference. They really do actively provide training sessions for our fellows. They also provide training sessions for some of us who are a little bit too old to be fellows, but it can actually participate so that we actually have some of the tools. I mean, I think we find that a lot of times people want to make a difference, but they don't necessarily have the toolkit that would facilitate that. And so they do provide a whole set of resources where students and anyone can actually go to their site and see what sort of information is available, what sort of messaging they could use. Additionally, that they really are champions of voting rights. And so not just for students, but actually for people across the board. Right now, the Andrew Goodman Foundation is actually supporting the For the People Act, which is something that is in both the federal House and the Senate to counteract some of the voter suppression measures that have been taking place across the country. And I think I have a statistic here that there's 361 bills currently across 47 states that would make voting harder. Which is an incredible amount in various ways. I mean, we all saw what Georgia is trying to pass in terms of shortening the time to vote and who can be in line. But 361 bills that are actively working to suppress voting. And so the Andrew Goodman Foundation is one of those organizations that is trying to work towards expanding access, making sure people know where they can register, who they can vote for, and who's qualified. And so that, I think, is a really important national effort that's not just for students. It's really across the country.
Anything you want to add, Allison?
I think that was perfectly said. I have nothing to add. That was perfect. Thank you.
Well, with these voting laws, that's a very interesting point that you raised and that the foundation is working on, because we've just had a presidential election where the courts and election officials said it was the most fair and free election ever held. And yet we have this reaction of hundreds of bills to make it more difficult to vote. And that's a debate for another time. But I think that it raises a lot of questions about the future of the country in terms of how easy it is for people to vote. And I think we can all agree that the right to vote is foundational, and that's what makes this country different from most of the rest. Now, I wonder, when you accepted the Andrew Goodman ambassadorship, Allison, did they give you a list of things that you had to do? Is this like, you know, you get a list, you have to check the boxes, these are your responsibilities and duties? Is it a little more free form than that? Do you co-create your activity calendar? How does that work?
It was not necessarily extremely dictated. Jasmine and I pretty much had freedom to come up with creative ways to engage with students. Obviously, we had support from the university and the foundation itself in guiding us on what would be a good idea, maybe what wouldn't, what resources we had that they provided. But no, there was nothing necessarily that dictated what we had to do. The main goal, again, was just to engage students, motivate students, educate students on voting, especially, again, since I've mentioned the presidential election was really, really hectic. We wanted to make sure that students felt comfortable and assured that their voice was being heard. And with that, we just had to get creative. And luckily, both Jasmine and I were part of different organizations on campus, which made it easier to connect with students. So it wasn't too difficult for us to be creative in that way.
Dean James, what's your take on that? And how do these students get chosen? Do they is there an application process? Do you put everybody's name in a hat? What's the deal?
Well, I would have liked to have gone with the hat idea, but no, we didn't do that, Len. We actually put out an application and asked students to apply. And following a written application, there was an interview where they were asked various questions about their civic activity to date and sort of the things that they'd already been doing and what they thought they might be able to accomplish. And it was competitive. So it's not the case that we had two positions and two people applied. We definitely had a number of applications for this. And I will say that, Allison and Jasmine both, this is not their only achievement, as you probably already know, is they already came to us with experience and interest and passion for engagement and sort of making a difference. And that is what we were looking for primarily.
Who's on that committee? Who decided?
Well, it was a committee of two. And so that was myself and Deborah Karp, who is the director of the Center for Business and Community Engagement. And we made that decision on our own, I suppose. We also were the ones that worked most closely with the students throughout the year. And that will be essentially how we'll continue it next year, because we will have an open slot. And this is what is really nice about the Andrew Goodman Foundation. From here on in, we will have two students every year who can work on civic engagement. And this is something that will really help us at Parkside. It won't be engagement that's only tied to an election. It will be engagement that's tied to being an active citizen. And that can be through voting, but it also can be through other activities. It can be through trying to influence your legislators. It can be trying to educate others on issues. And so this will be a really interesting upcoming year for us, because our two fellows will actually have the opportunity to engage our students in a much more, I think, flexible and resilient fashion.
Oh, that's exciting. How do you feel about that, Allison?
I'm very excited. The fall election, the presidential election, was crazy. It was hectic. But now that next year we don't have a major election like that, I think we're going to have even more freedom to be creative and to be more involved. And I know that when Jasmine and I were talking about how this would continue next year, one of our hopes is to be more involved with community members, both in Racine and Kenosha. Since we've already expanded within campus, we want to continue that and have more community members join us throughout the year.
Allison, you had some committees and student organizations listed after your name when I looked you up. Do you want to tell us what those were, since we were just, Dean James was just sort of alluding to that?
Yes. So I am also, like I mentioned earlier, part of student orgs. That's how I kind of started being involved. As many other freshmen, I was scared. I didn't have any friends, so I figured it'd be the best way to meet people. And the first org that I joined freshman year was Latinos Unidos. And I loved it. I've been with Latinos Unidos 3 years now. And now this year, I'm the current president. And I plan to continue next year. We just created our scholarship as well that was featured during Parkside Day. So that's another major accomplishment for us. In addition, I'm also part of student government. I joined freshman year. And then my sophomore year and this year, I've been Speaker of the Senate. And I plan to, again, continue next year. It's a lot of fun. Again, I met some wonderful, wonderful people there. I was also part of mock trial briefly before a lot of the graduates left us. And that was a lot of fun too. Since I mentioned earlier, my plan is to attend law school. It was an immense help in just discovering what law in itself was. And I'm also a tutor on campus. I'm a writing tutor, which I love. It's a job that I didn't expect I would be doing, but one of my professors said I was a good writer and I went with it. And so now here I am.
We're going to hear a lot more from this young lady, Dean James.
Indeed. Yes, indeed. I will be able to retire soon, Len. My job here is done.
Your job is done.
I hope I live long enough to see what happens to Allison in her career. I think it's going to be exceptional. Now, Allison, just because you've been doing so well, I guess, you've also been named a Newman Civic Fellow, as if you didn't have enough to do.
Right, yes. I was just named the Newman Civic Fellow a couple months ago. It's pretty recent, but the fellowship will be for next academic year. I was nominated by the chancellor along other amazing students on campus that are also very involved. And basically this fellowship is structured to provide students like myself with training, resources, networking, to try to develop and nurture our passions. And that way we can develop strategies for social change. And when I applied, one of the main focuses was the Latinx community, and how, since I'm Latina, I always want to, everything that I do, I want to bring forth my community. And that's what I talked about. I said that if I was elected for this position, again, I would continue to work within my community and try to uplift our Latinx students on campus. And I guess they liked my answer because I was selected. So
I was impressed when I read it, and I was extremely impressed by Chancellor Debbie Ford's recommendation for you, which was exceptional, I thought. Dean James, from your perspective as Dean of the College of Social Sciences and Professional Studies, how does this fit in? How do the two organizations fit together in your mind? Maybe you could talk to us maybe at a high level, concept level now of what this means.
Well, both organizations are obviously aligned, because what they're doing is that they're identifying people with passion, people with potential, and making sure that they have the tools that they need to succeed. We all need help, right? We all need a little bit of skills and training and education and information. And so they really both, I think, dovetail quite nicely. I think that Allison's commitment to the Latino community on campus is one that is really appropriate for Parkside. Just this last spring, our Hispanic enrollment, a little over 20% of our students at UW Parkside now are Hispanic.
Terrific.
Which is just in another 5%, we can apply to be a Hispanic serving institution, and this group I think is tremendous as well. Is that even though, as I told you, those increases in voting that we had in the last few years, those were increases across the board for every race and ethnicity, which is great news for us. But here's a statistic that I think is fantastic: is that the Hispanic student vote went from 19.5% of Hispanics voting in 2014 to 48.3%. So wow. It more than doubled. And why? Well, I haven't done the analysis, but I can tell you that it's because people like Allison are out there becoming leaders, getting the tools to become even better leaders, and then taking us further down that road.
Well, that's amazing. Those are really fascinating and extraordinary results from a relatively modest level of intervention, if I understand it correctly.
Yeah, I mean, they have. We've been actually working with Hispanic students for the last 5 or 6 years intentionally. But I think in the last couple of years, it's been, I think the Latinos Unidos group has done a great deal to mobilize students. And we have drawn more and more attention to the issues and the needs of the Latino community here, not only on campus, but in southeastern Wisconsin. And so, you know, we've done a little bit, but I think it's Allison and others like her who have come before her and are with her now that are really making an impact.
It's wonderful to see how some well-thought-out and relatively modest interventions carried out over a sustained period of time can make a real difference. That's exciting and really important for the future of our country, isn't it?
Yes. I think now, that's the most important thing, Glenn, because it's sustainable. And it's consistent and continuous, and that's what people need to see.
Now, what preparation will you have for your Newman Civic Fellow year, Allison? Is there a conference? Is there training? How is that program going to work? I know you're very early into it, so they may not even given you a full readout yet, and maybe Dean James can help us fill in some of those blanks.
Yes, we actually just had our official orientation with all the fellows throughout the nation and then internationally as well. And the orientation, like any other orientation, just kind of described what the goals are. And then in addition to that, even before it was officially announced that I got the fellowship, I had to pick a mentor that I would be working closely with throughout the year. And that process is now completed as well. My mentor is someone that I'm very close with and I admire and I know is going to help me throughout this entire journey. And her role is, again, to mentor me and kind of just to check in every couple of months to see what the process is looking like. But as of now in the summer, I know we might have another conference, again, to just go over everything before the semester begins in the fall.
Are there dozens and dozens of Newman Civic Fellows, Dean James, Allison?
There are across the country, and I say they're part of Campus Compact, and so there's about 1,100 campuses that participate. But I'm not sure whether or not every campus always receives a designation as a Newman Fellow. Do you know that, Allison? I don't know.
I'm not sure either, but I know that this is an international organization as well because there is a fellow from Monterrey, Mexico. So I know that.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, you're right.
Well, that's terrific. And what do you anticipate is going to be some of the core of the work you'll do with the Newman Civic Engagement Program in the coming year? Do you have an idea of what that might look like yet, or is it a little too early?
Well, I know that, like I mentioned earlier, my focus is for sure the Latinx community, but I think right now it's a bit early for me to anticipate exactly what I'll be doing. But I know that my focus, like I said in my interview, is that it's going to be solely to help the Latinx community flourish on campus and obviously within the community as well.
I wonder if we could take a look at the future now a little bit. Allison, you'll be engaged in both of these programs next year, and you're majoring in what?
Majoring in English and political science and a minor in Spanish.
Oh, that's a great combination. So what are your hopes for the coming year in terms of your studies and in terms of your involvement with these two civic engagement programs that are of such high quality and provide you with such an amazing amount of resources to help you in your career?
Yeah, well, next year is actually my very last year of undergrad, which is bittersweet, but also very exciting. I'm excited that I only have two more semesters left. I think it flew by. I still remember freshman year. But in terms of both organizations that I'll be working with, I'm just excited to continue what we're doing. And I think we have momentum right now with everything that we've done this year that we're I really anticipate next year for there to be more involvement with students, more comfort with students, more of a connection, which is obviously always the goal, but that just, we know that it takes time. And I think this entire year we've been working towards that and we've been really successful. And I think both of them are going to help me immensely after undergrad. I plan to attend law school. So I think that when I explain all my experiences with these organizations, it's going to show that I really am committed to civic engagement and just overall my community.
That's terrific. Dean James, what's your hope for the student participation in these Goodman Fellow Ambassadors and the Newman Civic Fellows programs? What are you looking forward to? What's your hope for the program?
Well, I'm really looking forward to next year because I think in some ways it will give us more opportunity to think about novel and innovative ways that we can engage our students in community, that it's not just so centered on the big election. And because I think many times many of us believe that we're completely engaged if we vote. Now, that is true. That's, voting is good, but there are so many other ways in which we can think of ourselves as being actively involved in the good of our communities. So I'm hoping that we can be a little bit more innovative in how we engage people. Also, I think we're open, as Allison said, it's sort of, we've kept it open, one, because I think a lot